I'm so glad that those of us that have been saved by God's grace, we've got a sweet by and by. I had found a song the other day, and I told Ayun I'd thought of her, but it's talking about if I have to knock on every mansion door. In other words, those that we've lost, that we love, we'll be able to find them. We're going to step out of time and go into eternity. I can't comprehend what exactly that means, but I'm looking forward to it. Stepping out of time. You think we live in a place where time, it just consumes everything. We've got a finite amount of time every day that we live. And I preached a few months ago, we spend 2/3 of it either working or sleeping, which we don't have a lot of time, but it defines everything about us. But there, time will be no more. What a day. What an hour. What a moment when we go to be with Him in the sweet by and by. I'd ask you to turn with me to two places. Hosea chapter number 3 and Galatians chapter number 4. As I said, I do need your prayers. It seems like we've just battled Satan for a while now, and sometimes it's like that. And also just need your prayers and remember me. And I know we've got a busy day, and I won't preach long or don't intend to. I've learned to backtrack a little and say don't intend to, because sometimes I say I won't and I do. But anyway. But I told Brother Joe when we was leaving Sunday school, I said, I wish I could see your face when you're out in your car, because this is exactly not the same portion of Scripture, but it's exactly the topic that he had brought up about redemption. And I've been thinking about being redeemed for quite some time and preached on it a little, but I don't know. The Lord's just directing my thoughts here. Hosea chapter number 3. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for an homer of barley, and an half homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. Galatians chapter number 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Hosea is one of those remarkable books. I love the whole Bible, and I love Paul's writing, how he explains mysteries that have been kept hid from the ages of time, and how Paul unfolds the doctrine of the resurrection and the cross, and exactly how that applies to us today. But some of these Old Testament stories, and I hesitate to call them stories because they're actual events that happened, but they're so rich in their beauty. And Hosea, to me, is one of those things. And if you go back to in chapter 1, God instructs Hosea to go and marry a woman that's a harlot. Go and marry a harlot, and that's hard. Hard to wrap your head around why God would tell him to do that. And it doesn't really say, but I believe that Hosea loved her. I believe that God was giving him permission. I believe that he saw something in Gomer, was her name, that maybe nobody else saw. And for some reason, maybe he loved her. But at any rate, God said, go and marry this woman. Go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and a harlot. So he did.
And I believe he loved her. I believe Hosea loved his wife. I believe he was good to her. I believe she bore him 3 children. And I believe the whole time that they were married, that he loved her and treated her as the apple of his eye. But there came a time when she played the harlot again, and she went out and she left him and just went out and done what harlots do. And she had many men. In other words, she left. And Hosea instructed his children in chapter 2. He said, "Go and plead with your mother. Go and plead with your mother and tell her to just come back and return to me." And he was doing this to make a point and an illustration how that Israel had left God and how that God had been so good to her. And Hosea begins to tell his children, and they go out and they plead. They plead with their mother and beg their mother to come back and just come back into the graces of her husband and just find her way back. And she didn't. And no doubt they were brokenhearted. This is their mother that now is just like a stranger to the children. And I thought that parallels us a lot. I told somebody just a while ago, I really don't understand who America is anymore. I do know this, that from the beginning in our foundation, God has been awfully good to this land. And He's given us things and privileges and rights, and not that He owed us any of it, but He's been good and He's been gracious. And we've sort of did exactly what Israel did. And maybe we had it good for so long, we just went out and went our own way. But I believe that He is still sending men today in His church today, to try and persuade. He's sending forth His children to persuade people just to come back. And Hosea said she doesn't realize how good that she had it, and she didn't. And she went out to be with other men, and she was out looking for stuff, and she wanted to get and gain things of this life. And Hosea began to say unto her that she doesn't realize it was me that provided her with all that she had, that I gave up everything I had of myself. He said, I gave to her, and she just turned away from it all and ran away from it all. And I thought to myself, that's the way that a lot of sinners are today. You don't understand how gracious that God has been, and how gracious He is, and the things that He has in store for them that would just come to Him. And I've also thought about that's the way it is for that one that may be backslidden in heart, that has been born again. I'd love to see people that are saved members of Lafayette Missionary Baptist Church actually unite together in worship and serving God and come in the doors. And by the way, you can be here every Sunday and still be backslidden in heart. How do you know that, preacher? Because I've been there and I've done that. But we've forgotten and we've went our own way. And I believe God is also calling unto those people today just to come back and see how good it is. Aren't you tired? Gomer finally got tired enough. And God has a couple of ways He can call you back. He said, I'll take everything. Hosea said, I'll just begin to take away. And I'll take away everything that she thinks she has. And God can do that. His hand does that sometimes. In other words, just strips a man down to where there's nothing left to hold on to. There's nothing left. Everything that your hand touches just sort of turns into shambles. And that's one way He does draw men unto Him. He just smites them with everything. He sort of just puts His heavy hand upon them. But the other way He has, when that don't work, sometimes He just talks to you in love and says, I'll draw you down with bands of men and with cords of love. I'll draw you down to that place. And so He pleaded with His children, go out and just show your mother I love her, and if she'd come back to me, He said, I'd make her in the valley of Achor a door of hope. Do you know what that means? It means it was the first place that when they went into Jericho after coming out of bondage, they went through Jericho and they came to the valley of Achor, and they sinned against God. But that was the place where they had the victory. That was the place that they really had their first victory. And I've thought so many times of God's people, sometimes it's good just to go back to the time that you've had the the victory when you realized there was nothing really that you done. They didn't conquer Jericho by their own might, but it was the victory that they had when they just leaned upon the Lord and listened to His voice. And sometimes it's sweet to my soul just to go back to that time and place where it all started, just to get back there from time to time where the Lord redeemed me, just to go back in my heart to the place where I found peace in my heart and peace in my soul. And when I knew that, I realized that God has been merciful to me, a sinner. I realized that God has shown me compassion, and it was with those cords of love. And it was also a place, an anchor, where they sinned against God. It was a place where they committed horrible sins. They hid back part of the treasure of Jericho, and they stoned David and his family. And so from that point, it became known as a curse. But he's saying, I may even make that place a blessing to you if you'll just come back. I believe today God is pleading, not just with the lost, but He's pleading with His children whom He has born again into a family of God. Just come back. Come back to His house. Come back to His presence. Come back to His glory. I believe He's pleading today with so many people just to come back. And so Hosea sent his children out, and they came back, but she didn't come. But then there came a longing in chapter number 3. God said, Hosea, I know she's done you wrong. I know you've got every reason to not trust her. I know you've got every reason today. There is a scriptural divorce, and if any man ever had the reason to put away his beloved, it was Hosea. Hosea, I know she's done you awful. I know she's played the harlot. But he said, Hosea, go yet love a woman. And there began a longing and a desire. I believe Hosea wanted to know what would come of his bride. I believe he wanted to know. I believe God wants to know today what's become of those that He's redeemed. I believe there's a longing for God. You might say, preacher, I don't feel the longing. I promise you, God touches your heart just right. You'll feel Him drawing you back. You'll feel Him drawing you down. You'll become to realize that job that it took me out of the house of God. It really wasn't worth it. And maybe I ought to start looking for another place. And maybe I ought to start looking for a place where I can come to His house and be with His people. And maybe you're realizing that choice that you made long ago, or maybe not so long ago, that maybe you thought what was best for you, it really wasn't good for you or your family at all. I believe there's a longing for God to call His people. I'm telling you, the day is here. We don't have much time. If we want to see our lost saved, God is begging His people. In Revelation, He's not standing. People say He stands at the door and knocks. Do you know where He was knocking? That was His church He was talking to. That was the door He was standing at. There are so many people, He's not even welcome anymore where they are. I'm telling you, God is begging men just to come back. Oh, if we gave God reason after reason just to turn away from us, I know that I have in life. I've given every opportunity to wash His hands with me. And Hosea had that opportunity. But he said, go and love her. And love her anyway, in spite of all she's done, in spite of what she is. Go love a woman. And I believe there became a longing in Hosea. Where's Gomer at? Where's my bride? I believe he loved her before she failed. And I believe he loved her after she failed. We were talking about Adam in Sunday school. How that God made Adam and He loved Adam. I believe He loved Adam before he sinned. I was talking to Titus this week. He said, do you think Adam and Eve had a choice? And before you just blurt it out, you put some thought into it. They had a choice. I believe that with all my heart. But God knew what they would decide. I believe that they had a choice, and they willfully turned against Him. And He had every right to just wash His hands and maybe create a new creation. But He loved them after the fall. He loved them after the fall just as much as He loved them before the fall. And Hosea loved his bride, and he went to go find her. And word came to him that there was a slave auction being held. Let me tell you this. The sin will take you farther than you ever think it will. You might say, preacher, it's just a little sin, a little thing. It's pretty insignificant. It's a dangerous ground that you're on, what it is. It'll drag you out to its depths and enter you into its midst. And my friend, she found herself a slave. And word came to Hosea, apparently, that there was a slave auction. And no doubt he began to search his heart. No doubt that he was anxious. Maybe this is where I'll finally find her. Maybe this is where she's at. And so he went to this auction. And as they became, maybe I don't know how it was, but as maybe they were presented one at a time or however it was, the Bible says that there she was. And God said, go love her. And I've thought about what she must have thought. I thought about maybe when she caught his eye. I'm glad that I caught the Lord's eye. I'm glad that He had mercy on me one night. I'm glad that He came and He desired me. And when He did, when Hosea showed up, the thought that must have ran through her mind, I've been awful to this man. And when she heard his voice, he didn't have a lot of money. I believe he gave all that he had. How do you know that? He said, I bought her back. I bought her for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer and a half of barley. That wasn't much money, but he didn't have enough money to pay it all in silver. So he gave all that he had. In other words, he came and he bought her back. And she probably thought within herself, what in the world's going to happen to me? I've been awful to this man. What's he even doing here? I can't believe I heard his voice. And as they started bidding, I couldn't believe he began to bid and to pay a price for somebody like me. He's surely going to take me out and repay all that I've done to him. He's going to take my life. But you know what he did? He went up to her as he began to draw near. There's a song that talks about that. He went and he said, simply, I've come to take you home. In other words, let's leave all the past behind us and let's just go home. I'm going to be good to you. And I thought about what a picture of a man being redeemed. What it is to be redeemed by the hand of God. For we were bound in sin and we were bound slaves into sin. And then we were redeemed by a mighty hand. She had no power to redeem herself. You couldn't redeem yourself. As sinner, you cannot pay your own ransom. It has to come from the love of another man who loves you enough to buy you back. And no matter how horrible that you might have been, you can be redeemed. He loves you today. He said, go yet love a woman. I thought about how I read that verse in Galatians that when the fullness of time was come. I like that verse. That's one of my favorite things that Paul has ever written. For since the time that Adam sinned and man failed, the time for a Redeemer had been prophesied. It had been written. It had been foretold. I was talking to Titus the other day, and we were talking about, and I said, I might be wrong, but I don't think the angels had any idea. I don't think they had any foreknowledge of how God was going to work His work. I really don't. Because it said the angels desired to look in to these things. But since the time that prophecy was dropped, the world just laid waiting for thousands of years. But all of a sudden, when the fullness of time came, there He came, born of a woman and born under a law. It said to redeem them that are born in sin. To redeem them that are born under the law. And I thought about at His birth, how the angels had a choice then, and they went out over the balconies of heaven, and they began to look down. I think it just appeared before them. I think when they heard Gabriel say, when they heard the announcement that in the city of David this day there is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I believe when Gabriel made that announcement, I believe the angels heard it. And over the balconies of heaven they looked and they began to worship Him in that little manger. I don't think they had any foreknowledge. I don't think they knew what was going to take place. That's just my opinion, and you don't have to agree with that. But I think the plan of redemption was unfolded even to them as it had been to mankind. All the way down through the Bible, there was one that should come. All the way down, that promise was there. But we were talking just a minute ago in Sunday school about the price that was paid. And Carol said it best, and she said, I don't like to think about it. And I know what she meant, because you do, but you don't. You understand the price. If you fully understand what your soul costs, If you ever fully understood what it meant for you to be redeemed, you know what it was? When Hosea went to her, as she know, he said, "You're not going to play the harlot anymore." He said, "I've come to take you out of all of that. I've come to take you away from that life. I've come to give you a better life. I know how you treated me, but I have forgiven you, and I've redeemed you, and I'm taking you home, and all of this is behind us, and you're not going to play the harlot anymore." And Hosea didn't hang that over her head one time. I don't believe he did that. God, the accuser of the brethren, Satan, will hang your sins over you. Your Redeemer never will. He'll say, "That's forgiven, and let's forget the past, and let's press forward to the future." But he said, "You're not going to play the harlot anymore." Do you know what it is when Paul said, "You were bought with a price," and then he said, "You are not your own"? In other words, I don't serve him today. I mean, I do serve him because I owe him a debt, but I serve him because he redeemed me.
Amen.
And I fully understand what that cost. But I was talking to Titus about the angels and how it began to unfold. And I said, "Brother, you might not think that, but I think as they took the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe when he was in Gethsemane and began to sweat great drops of blood, the Bible said he was in agony in that hour. He was in agony unto death, and he began to sweat great drops of blood. And the angels came and ministered unto him. And I felt different times. As Lord, send those angels unto me. I need to be picked up. I need to be carried. I need to be cast off. I need to be brought up to you today." And so many times he's done that. But I thought as they did that, and they no doubt returned to where they were sent from, as they began to watch that night unfold, and as he stood before Pilate and Herod and Pilate again, as they began to beat on him, I believe they had to be thinking within themselves, "What in the world is going on? Don't the world know who that man is that's in Pilate's judgment hall?" And I believe as they beat on him and spit on him, I believe the angels were there just waiting and not understanding, but it was unfolding. I believe their hearts were breaking for their Maker was fixing to suffer. I believe the angels' hearts were breaking in glory because of what they saw happening to their Creator. You might not agree with that, but that's all right. That's my belief. And I believe the conversation probably took place. How long is this going to go on? Surely he's going to come. That's what his disciples thought. He had all power with God. He can put an end to this. But no man understood what he was doing. And I don't think the angels fully understood. You know why? Because it had never been done before. Never had anybody paid the price of a ransom like that. They had saw it happen in Egypt. "By the power of God, I have redeemed you with my high hand." It was the power of God that redeemed them with the blood being applied. They had saw it symbolically, but they had never saw it play out. Not like that. And I believe the angels gathered around. The Bible said he told Pilate, "Do you not understand? Do you not know? If my kingdom were of this world, I could call upon 12 legions of angels and they'd carry me out. But my kingdom is not of this world." But I believe they were ready. I believe they were waiting at any moment. I believe they were waiting there and they saw the lash across his back and they saw his back laid open and had to think, "What in the world is going on?" Don't they understand? It would be horrible, she said in Sunday school, for that to happen to any man, and it would. But for it to happen to Jesus Christ, it breaks your heart. And it broke their heart. And I believe as they begin to say, "What in the world is going on earth? Can't you stop it, Lord? Can't you do something?" I believe that the Father had turned to His holy angel when they said, "What is He doing?" He said, "He's redeeming the world full of sinners." I'm telling you the truth today. Somebody said in a revival, maybe it was Jeff, that sometimes God gives us a message and He gives it to us so good and rich, and we just sit and weep. It's so good. And it's hard for us to get that out. But I'm telling you, if you ever one time understand what being redeemed means, you'll understand the joy in your heart. You'll understand why you love Him like you love Him. You'll understand why you serve Him. And you don't just serve Him because that book says to. You serve Him because He loves you and He's bought you back and He's redeemed you. And I believe He's calling sinners to Him today. And I firmly believe He's calling the saved to Him today. Preacher, what are you talking about? If you just ever realize, He said, how good you had it. That's what He told Hosea, and that's what Hosea told Gomer. But I'm telling you, from the moment before they were even created, the plan of redemption was there. This was how it was going to be accomplished. Man didn't understand it. Holy angels didn't understand it. But when the time came that He was born of a woman, it set in motion the things that had been prophesied for thousands of years. When He went to the tree at Calvary and He hanged there, and when they buried Him in a tomb, I'm thankful for the birth. I'm thankful for the crucifixion. I'm most thankful for the resurrection. There's where your sins are discharged. That's how He bought you back. I bought you with a price. And now you're not your own. This has been a scattered, short, pretty sorry message. Let me take that back. The delivery of it's been sorry. The message is good. Take the message home with you. Read about Gomer. Read about how she treated Hosea. Read about you think about how you treated God. You think about how good He's been to you and how sorry you've been to Him at times. Preacher, don't call me sorry. You're no different than me. And I say, I'm sorry. And I'm telling you, if He had every right just to leave us to our own devices, and Hosea did too, but God said, go and love her. And He went and He showed up. God will show up at places you never thought Him to be at. Hosea, when he found Gomer, she had no hope of ever being redeemed. Who could love somebody like that? Just a filthy, wretched harlot, a sinner, and now she's being slaved. Her life had come down to the gutter. It was fit for nothing. She'd just soon be dead. But in a moment, everything changed when He showed up. I heard a song the other day, and it talks about there's a moment when everything's going to change. And I'm done. But it was talking about the rich man, Lazarus. And I've always read that with an emphasis on the rich man because he's in hell. But it really never dawned on me the moment that change took place for Lazarus. We know what the change was for the rich man, but really I was ashamed. I never thought what it must have been like for Lazarus. Just a poor beggar and lay at a gate, begging for crumbs and full of sores, the dogs coming and licked his wounds. But he closed his eyes one day and he died in death. And when he opened his eyes, in a moment everything had changed. I said, can you imagine the glory? I'm telling you, there are moments in life where everything changes. When you're lost, everything changes. When you're redeemed, everything changes. The whole world is turned upside down both times. But when a saved dies, everything changes. I mean, the glory that's going to come into your soul all at once, and suddenly you'll understand, I've been redeemed. I'm singing a song of the redeemed, in a land of the redeemed, in a place of the redeemed. But if you ever get it into your soul, what that redemption cost, I believe you'll love Him. I believe that's truly what it meant when He said, I'll draw you down with cords of love. The price that was paid for your salvation. My. Thank God I've been redeemed today. Get you a song, brother.